Ladies and gentlemen, live from the West Coast, it's time for Ring Talk Live Worldwide. Your inside look into combat sports. And now, the host of the longest-running fight show in radio and internet history.
But he has a shock in store for him. He has two great chances, Slim and none, and Slim's out of town.
Pedro Fernandez.
I wanted to do the right thing.
Damas y caballeros, bienvenidos, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the Sports Byline Broadcast Network and Ring Talk Live Worldwide. Often imitated, but never duplicated. 37, make that 38 plus years now. Of knocking out all bums. My name is Pedro Fernandez. I am your modest host in this hour of Ring Talk Live Worldwide. Of course, we'll talk about the world of boxing post-2020. As we look into 2021, we'll bring in boxing's only PhD. That's right, we'll talk about the kid from the Bronx, Socrates Palmer. Straight up Socrates will be here in segment number two. Of course, we'll also talk about the fact that, you know, we're looking for a figure in this country, a sports figure. Of course, LeBron James, he doesn't quite fill the void that Muhammad Ali filled. Of course, can there anybody ever greater than Ali? We'll find out in segment four today of Ring Talk Live Worldwide. Open phone lines around the planet. You can join us if you dare. 1-800-878-7529. That's 1-800-878-7529. Or get this, the guilt-free, no-commitment text line, the number 1-415-275-1613. The studio text line. Drop us a question, drop us a rap, compliment, whatever you want to do. Number once again, 1-415-275-1613. That's 1-415-275-1613. Well, it looks like the world lightweight champion is headed down under. No, I'm not talking on the sheets. I'm talking about Australia. Straight up, Teofimo Lopez looks like he's going to Australia in May to fight Mr. Kai Brassus. Of course, I told you he's a worthy foe. He's undefeated. He can pack a stadium down there, but can you pack a stadium at this point in time with COVID going crazy? Who knows? They're talking about May. That and more today on Ring Talk Live Worldwide. Once again, this is your inside look into the world of boxing and MMA coming to you live on Sports Byline. Wait a second. That's the birthday song. The Beatles. Who's got a birthday? Let's bring in boxing's PAC Socrates Palmer and see who has a birthday within the Palmer family. What's the baby's name and when was it born, Sock?
Socrates Sebastian Palmer entered the world on January 7th, 2021 at 4:28 p.m.
Fantastic. Congratulations to you and the wife. So that's the first birthday, per se, of the child. And how's the baby doing?
He's doing well, Pedro. Thank you for asking. He's, you know, we're very, very blessed. Healthy boy, you know, 10 fingers, 10 toes. You know, he's doing good. He's doing what a baby does, eat, sleep, and poop.
Okay. And mommy, how's mommy?
Mommy's doing good. She's recovering. She is a trooper. You grow a stronger admiration, you know, for a woman when you see her go through childbirth, and you know, she's a rock. She's definitely the backbone of the family, and I love her every day more.
You do realize the species would have come to an end if they'd have reversed the roles. In other words, you know, if they'd have had us having babies, I mean, we probably wouldn't be reproducing. The pain. I mean, listen, I remember I had a lady in a police car. I was driving out to Terrell District one day in San Francisco, and some Chinese guy waved me down about 12 o'clock at night on 19th Avenue, and he's looking panicky, and he doesn't speak real good English, but I look at his wife, she's laying in the back seat, and her belly's bigger than you can imagine, and things are starting to emit from her, okay? So anyway, I grab her and throw her in the back of the police car. We drive high speed to Children's Hospital. She ends up having the baby a couple hours later, but that was like childbirth in the police car. And then, of course, I witnessed my daughter being born. And that's when I came up with an undue amount of respect for women in general, because, you know, that's just the ultimate. I just couldn't imagine that. I could crack a joke right now, but I won't because it's serious. But I mean, I couldn't imagine anything more rewarding and yet more painful than childbirth. So let's move on from that. But mom's doing well, huh?
Yes, she is. She is. Thank you for asking. Okay. She's doing very, very good.
Okay, this is, of course, my boy down there in Australia, George Kambosos, good-looking kid, beat the guy from England a couple of weeks ago, a few months ago. Anyway, bottom line is 19-0, 10 KOs. He and Teofimo Lopez look like they're going to make it in May. Of course, they draw big crowds down there in Australia. Do they really think they can put this fight in a stadium in the midst of a pandemic?
You know what? I haven't seen what their numbers look like in Australia. I think they could, you know, borrowing a page from Big Brother England. They had a limited crowd, I believe, in the Pulev-Joshua fight. So I could see something like that happening. I don't have the information as far as what their numbers are in Australia. And Australia is a massive country continent, so, you know, you don't know what regions are hotter than others. So.
Good point. Good point. Former light heavyweight champion Sergey Kovalev, of course, the former WBO light heavyweight champion, tested positive for steroids this past week. But I got to mention this. You know, the Russians have been famous for taking steroids. I remember in, like, the 1968 Olympics and the 76 Olympics. They didn't go to the 72 Olympics. The 76 Olympics. They had female weightlifters that needed to shave. And I'm not talking about their underarms. You know what I mean? That's what kind of steroids they were on. So all throughout the years, fighters from the Soviet bloc have seemed to be the preeminent guys being caught with performance enhancing drugs. So is it fair to label the Russians cheats?
Well, the cynic in me is not surprised that, you know, that if a fighter gets caught with PEDs, he's going to come from that region of the world. Going back to, like you said, the Olympics, them and the Germans, they were kind of like the pioneers in steroid use when it comes to international competition. A guy like Kovalev, you know, in the twilight of his career, you know, it's as far as I know, I think it's the first time he's ever popped positive. You got to hold on.
But here's what's up. Here's what I always say. Usually don't get caught the first time.
This is a
pattern for a lot of fighters, and whether they be American or whether they be from the Soviet bloc, primarily from the Soviet bloc, but we've had American cheats too. And I won't tell you that guy that was in the exhibition a few weeks ago, Mike Tyson, I think he was taking performance enhancing drugs and make his body look that good at 52. Human growth hormone, baby. They can get away with it.
Well, right. That's what you stole the words out of my mouth. There's so many things that you can take that are legal. I believe, does Mike live in Arizona?
Of course Mike's in Arizona.
Right. And from what I understand, Arizona is one of the pioneers in terms of human HGH and testosterone replacement, you know, which is, it's legal over there. You know, so, and it was an exhibition, so it's not like they were under Nevada testing. With Kovalev, it draws that, he's going to have that cloud over his career, you know. Was he always a cheater? I want to say no. You know, I want to give him the benefit of the doubt because he fought a lot of, you know, big fights in the United States and Vegas. And I do believe that they're, testing is somewhat adequate, and the guys that are blatant cheaters do get caught, like Jarrell Miller and people like that.
Jarrell's a dummy. I mean, he's just plain old ignorant, man. I mean, we're watching you, guy. Okay, I'm going to do this three times in a row. I mean, come on, man. I mean, I can't think of a bigger buffoon in boxing than that young man.
No, and the thing is, he got. Pop in his kickboxing days also. So the guy, that's his thing, you know. I mean, I don't know. So I mean, obviously, you can't tell him, you know, it's different like in baseball. You still got to hit the ball. But obviously they must do something, or people wouldn't use them.
Well, this is what they do. Okay, the different steroid. Obviously, the human growth hormone rolls back the reflexes. I mean, when Barry Bonds, Victor Conti told me this. Victor Conti of Snack fame, of course, he rigged the 2000 Olympics with Marion Lewis, I think that was her name. Anyway, and a few other events, but in Marion Jones. So anyway, he told me that when Barry Bonds was on the HGH and the cream put together and all those different steroids he was taking, that he could see the seams on the baseball coming at him. That's how good his eyes were from the human growth hormone alone.
Wow. Yeah. I mean, it's definitely an edge. And Barry Bonds at his peak was like a boy, like a man playing against Little League. It was unbelievable that year that he has, that he hit the 74 home runs and people would walk him with the bases loaded.
True. Here's a guy that I covered in high school though. That was a sunken chested little guy. Then it was with the Pittsburgh Pirates and he sort of looked like you or me to an extent, a lot sunken chested and maybe even more sunken chested. Then he goes to the Giants and he gains like 3 hat sizes in 1 year. Your head doesn't grow 3 hat sizes in 1 year.
No, it doesn't.
Yeah, what did I, and we had a trial out here. I don't know if you know about, we had a trial out here. I think it was for the trainer. I believe in our one
Anderson,
of the trainers.
He took the bullet for him.
Some chick got on there and talked about Barry Bonds' testicular, his small package. In other words, because of the steroids, you know, it sort of reduces your stones per se, the size of your stones, and that was sort of cold when they dogged him in court for that. But still, he denied it to the day. That dude will never admit it, okay? Anderson went to jail for him a year and a half. Imagine that, going to jail a year and a half for a guy. What kind of payoff was that when he got out?
I'm sure he was compensated handsomely. I mean, Barry Bonds at one point was the highest paid player in baseball, so I'm sure he's okay. You know,
let me tell you the flip on Barry. I interrupt you. I'm sorry about that. But Barry's been known to pick up pennies. When Barry has seen a penny, a friend of mine told me he saw Barry pick up the penny at Candlestick Park. So, you know, Barry's a cheap dude, but he's got all kinds of money. Barry was a weird kid in high school, man. He just was. He thought he was better than everybody else in high school, and he turned out to be better than everybody else. But you know, I think there were some Flintstone vitamins involved, obviously.
I mean, Barry, you got to remember, Barry grew up, you know, the major leaguer as his father, you know.
Yeah.
So he did not grow up, you know, as your average kid, you know, wealthy. His godfather is the great one, Willie Mays. I mean,
we're running up on a hard break here. I hate to interrupt Socrates Palmer. Running up on a hard break. You are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide. Willie Mays? I got some Willie Mays stories. You're tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide. Muhammad Ali at 40 minutes past the hour. You're tuned to Ring Talk. Your inside look at the world of boxing and MMA live on Sports Byline, iHeartRadio, and Sirius XM Satellite Radio. Our brand new channel, Channel 217.
Went to penitentiary, Gene Wilder. I did a movie. I went to, not me personally. I mean, I went to do a film in penitentiary. I was up there 6 weeks, Arizona State Penitentiary. It was something. Oh, you're applauding for that? Arizona State Penitentiary, real popular. Oh, man, it was strange because it's like 80% black people. And what's strange about that is that there are no black people in Arizona.
Now, more of Ring Talk with Pedro Fernandez.
Mike Tyson's in Arizona, as is Sammy the Bull Gravano, who's been talking a lot of smack as of late. He's got different podcasts going on. I can never imagine a convicted killer being released and then talking all the smack that Sammy the Bull Gravano is talking. But straight up, he must have something on somebody. Let's go to, we're back, back, let's go back to, of course, boxing's PhD, Socrates Palmer on the line from the Bronx. Sock, I gotta ask you, Don King coming back, he's got a card on the 29th. Is he for real?
One last hurrah, you know, I mean, listen, I mean, Don did it himself, but, you know, HBO really did a number on Don King in terms of not doing business with him anymore and basically made him irrelevant, you know. And Don has not been, I think, the last time I remember seeing him on TV was when he had Bremen Stavern, you know, and he had a, he lost the title to Deontay Wilder. I mean, Don King, in terms of for the fight fan, he's great for the fight fan, you know, and certain fighters, you know, he's been good to them. And to others, I'm sure they, if they can get away with it, they would have murdered him a long time ago. So Don King is good for boxing. I mean, what does he have left? You know, he's 80-something.
You know, 89. He's not 80. Answering the phone.
Hmm. That's interesting. Wow.
No, I mean, you know, so I mean, wonder, I, you know, and I wonder aloud how much he's got left. I was told he was really sick a couple of years ago, and I talked to him about 4 or 5 months ago. He said, I'll be calling you, Pedro, and we're going to announce this big show, blah, 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 blah. And then I never heard anything about him. Anyway, the 29th, Don King pay-per-view presents Manuel Char and Trevor Bryan. Of course, it's for the WB heavyweight title, I guess with some type of asterisk next to it, and the WB co-feature on the card. And your buddy, Stavern's going to be on the card as well. I thought they buried him. I thought he was done.
Man, that dude, between him and Charles Murray, like, this guys that you don't want to see on TV. The total, I was going to say, I mean, he was definitely outgunned and outclassed when he lost to Wilder. You know, he was annihilated, and he's not somebody that I would say that I'd missed seeing in the ring, but I guess everyone has the right to make a living, and if someone's going to pay him, you know, I don't want to be a hater, but I don't think Stavern is going to be a factor in the heavyweight division in 2021.
Yeah,
I'm
surprised I'm surprised he was ever a factor. But, you know, King coming back, DKP pay-per-view, of course, from January 20th. Once again, we'll get into that in depth as the in next week's show. You know, competition is good in all aspects of life, with all aspects of business, especially in the sports world, you know. I mean, if Don King could sign a few guys, he could make some noise. But I don't think he's got anybody outside of out of Char.
Yeah, I mean, no one is, you know, I remember he had this kid who kind of didn't live up to the hype, Iman, the junior welterweight. But, I mean, guys are smarter now, you know. People, I mean, notoriously Don was famous for, you know, giving fighters money up front, cash, and, you know, opening up their eyes wide and then not reading the fine print. And then they'd be stuck on these horrendous contracts and they wouldn't fight for about a year, you know. So I think fighters are a lot smarter now. You know, Don had his run. He was bigger than life. You know, he was just an imposing figure on television and great for the sport, you know, in some aspects.
I just got a text here for you, actually for us. Our guy was talking about Sammy the Bull Gravano. Are you surprised he's still alive? I mean, because the guy's killed like 20 people. You would have think somebody would have came back and tried to kill him, and he's doing podcasts and television shows, all kinds of crazy stuff.
Yeah, I mean, that's the wave now. I mean, all these mob rats, you know, are making, you know, trying to put their stories out there on the internet, on Vlad TV and YouTube and all these other platforms. Am I surprised Sammy's still alive? A little bit. You know, a little bit. You figure all the enemies he's made over the years. But then again, Sammy's a psychopath. So if you come after him, I'm sure, you know, he's not going to go quietly.
I'm sorry.
No, I was going to say that, you know, he's a killer. And, you know, I'm sure if you come after him, you better come after him correct, you know. So But
he talked some smack about your boy Teddy Atlas this week. So on one podcast, of course, he's got the JFK assassination. He's got all these different fights, and then of course he talked about Francisco Damiani. Evidently, he had a piece of Damiani, and he was trying to get Damiani in a title fight with Mike Tyson. At the same time, he talked about that, and he sent some guy over to Don King's office, and evidently the guy Don King told him, "Hey, you know, I'm a bad dude. Get the hell out of here." So they told the guy, "You better go back and kill Don King." And Sammy said he never saw that guy afterwards. Mm. And Don King is still alive. Anyway, February 13th looks like a match room, and Eddie Hearn. Eddie Hearn might be today's Don King. Who knows? Josh Warrington, 30-0, 7 KOs. Mauricio Lara, 21-2, 14 KOs. That's the main event, the 20th. They've got a fight card. Josh Kelly with 10 fights, taking on David Ayerson. 26-3-1. Alexander Povetkin, this will be interesting. Alexander Povetkin, 36-2-1, 25 whacks, fresh off that one-punch knockout, that annihilation, that, thank you, man, that was just sweet justice over Dillian White. This is the rematch with Dillian White, 27-2, 18 KOs. Dillian White, why is it I despise him? I mean, I don't even know the guy, but I don't like him.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you know, he was running his mouth a lot prior to the Povetkin fight, and he kind of feels like he's maybe like the most avoided or uncrowned heavyweight champion. You know, he's got a lot of mouth and a little bit of a chip on his shoulder, and he overlooked Povetkin, and he became the victim. He became the co-star in the knockout of the year in my book. I mean, that was a tremendous fight. Povetkin really... just a beautiful counter uppercut, and White obviously never saw it coming. And the rematch, I'm expecting fireworks. I like White. I think he's always in a good fight. You know, I think that he is a little too braggadocious and sometimes does his best fighting with his mouth. But, you know, I have no problem with White. I think White's a tough fighter. He gives an honest effort. And I'm looking forward to this rematch.
Real quick, 135 pounds. Looks like Cambosos is going to get the shot with Teofimo Lopez, 19-0, of course, 10 KOs. The other guys in the division, Devin Haney, Ryan Garcia, coming off that win a few weeks ago over Luke Campbell, of course, that body punch knockout. But him getting off the deck there, you know, if he hadn't saw that punch coming, and he did see that punch coming because it was an overhand left, it sort of looped. But had it been thrown Pernell Whitaker style, he wouldn't have got up. Can you see what I'm trying to say there?
You think Pernell would have done a better job in hiding the shot? Like,
No. Pernell is from point A to point B. In other words, it goes faster. When you loop it, not only does it take, right. Not only do you see the punch coming, left-handers right. tend to loop. Not only do you see it coming, right. but it takes up time.
Right. I mean, also the fact, Ryan's tall. So I think maybe might have been the only way to get him. But it was a tremendous shot. It was a lucky shot because if you watch it, you know, he fainted down and then clipped him. And the way Ryan fell was, you know, pretty spectacular. You know, when it's like seeing what you're watching an old Western and John Wayne gets shot, you didn't expect that. So, but, you know, he dusted himself off and had a spectacular win. Real quick, shout out to the man at why I'm a boxing fan today, my dad, who turned 74 yesterday.
Fantastic. So the birthday thing worked. That's a dual birthday then. We got the baby this week. We got your dad yesterday. Give your dad my best. I mean, what a great son he has, man. So he must be a proud young, he must be a proud guy.
Thank you, sir. Thank you. I'm very lucky. Very blessed.
Have a great weekend, sir.
You too, my brother. Enjoy.
The great Socrates Palmer on Ring Talk Live Worldwide on Sports Byline. Coming up, we'll do a segment. We'll bring in Muhammad Ali. I think we need a little joy, a little happiness. You know, today's boxing world, a little bit bored. Let's go back in time with Muhammad Ali on the Sports Byline Broadcast Network.
Unbelievable.
The soul side of town, baby. Brand new Tower of Power. Check them out, towerofpower.com. They've got new drops, a couple of new songs. I mean, Tower's rocking and rolling. What, 50 years later, straight up props to Tower of Power. It was January 17th, 1974, of course, a week before Muhammad Ali and Joe Frazier would engage in their second fight. It was Muhammad Ali's 32nd birthday. Joe Frazier had just turned 30 5 days earlier. Okay, this show was aired on the 24th, but it was actually taped a few days earlier. At the end of the broadcast, things got a little ugly. We'll check in right now with Muhammad Ali, Joe Frazier, and Howard Cosell.
You see, you try to brush that stuff over on somebody's elbow, man. You try to put that wig on everybody else besides yourself.
Yeah, boy.
Yeah, Roy.
There you go.
Okay. We'll be back with round seven in a moment.
Sharp suits got on them.
Pretty good.
How old is?
About a year. About a year. I heard I was going to be on the TV with this attorney, so I had to dress like a lawyer.
Oh, yeah? Well, I thought it was a sports thing. I would come relaxing. I think that...
you look good, Joe.
Relaxing, man, you know.
You don't explain why you dress like you are.
Well, that's good. You know, I'm a dresser.
You look good, Joe.
I feel good, too. That's where I feel like I should dress for this kind of show, sportswear, you know.
That was the end of round seven, gentlemen, and we'll be back again in just a moment.
You can't do that no more.
We're going to buy him a ticket out of the country.
Oh, boy.
Sit down, man.
Sit down, Joe.
Why you think I'm eating?
Sit down, Joe.
Huh?
Sit down quick.
Why you think I'm eating?
Sit down. The brothers are here.
Doing this too?
No.
Sit down quick, Joe.
Well, we're having a scene, as you can see, and it's hard to tell whether it's clowning or for real between the two fighters. This kind of thing has been going on all along in terms of promotion of the fight, and this time it seems to be for real, because Joe Frazier is really angry. Muhammad called him ignorant, and he's really angry. I don't think this one is clowning at all. It's a bad and an ugly scene, and it's unfortunate, I think, that it's happened in the middle of showing a classic fight between two extraordinary athletes. I think that Ali is probably clowning, but there is no question in my mind that Joe Frazier is not clowning. They threw off their respective earpieces, microphones. Joe Frazier's watch came off. There was a wrestling bout on the floor, and we're really very sorry this happened. And there's no question about it. Joe Frazier is leaving the studio now, and he is deeply upset at Ali calling him ignorant. I'm sorry, Joe. I'm sorry, but we're going to try and get this back, and we'll be back in just one moment.
Monday night, you be on time.
As you can see, one chair is now empty. Muhammad Ali is sitting next to me where Joe Frazier had been sitting. And Joe has left the studio in what was open anger, real anger, and there's no sense in disguising the fact.
I would say that was anger on his part, Howard. I'm not angry and still not angry. That's why I'm still here.
All right.
But a man shouldn't be that savage and illiterate to just jump up and stand over me and ball his fists up and as if though he's on a swing at me. I don't know what he was going to do. I had to jump up to defend myself. But I'm not still angry at him. I don't think two black men should be on the television fussing and fighting and acting like savages. This man is, he speaks ignorant at times. He said, I went to the hospital. I went to the hospital to have my swollen jaw checked to make sure nothing had happened for 10 minutes. And I wasn't going to bring up him going to the hospital because it's true. He was so hurt, he went to the hospital for 1 month. And I don't think it would be a man for me to bring up you went to the hospital because it's not my intention to hurt nobody. But so this is why I say he's an ignorant man to show you how much he thinks. If I went to the hospital 1 month and he went for 10 minutes, I wouldn't say he went to the hospital because he might say I went to the hospital.
All right, you've had your say now. I want to recapture the situation for you viewers. We were showing round 10 when suddenly this difficult situation arose. Joe is not here. Muhammad, as I have noted, has just had his say. I am going to try and serve as devil's advocate to represent Joe here now because he's not here.
You have to be the devil and to represent Joe. You have to be the devil.
I never mind the wisecracks, Muhammad.
That's true.
We're going to show round 10 again. We're going to concentrate
on
this fight.
You use the word devil. And so then you act the devil.
Let's limit our attention to this fight and let's be absolutely fair in the absence of Joe Frazier. He's entitled to that regardless. Good luck to you. Once again, we want to express our regret at the fact that Joe Frazier left the studio. He felt he had every right to do so. We're sorry about the difficult situation that occurred and the slight skirmish that occurred.
But no hard feelings. We'll be buddies after I beat
him. Okay. That's our show today.
We'll be good brothers.
Thank you very much.
Good black brothers.
Muhammad Ali and Joe Frazier hooking it up. Of course, that was 4 days before their second battle. The second battle, of course, took place at the Garden, Madison Square Garden. Of course, they sold the Garden out. They sold it out the first time in the fight of the century in March of 1971. Of course, they would come back and fight once again. Wow, 1976 for the World Heavyweight Championship. The Thrill in Manila, probably the most brutal one of the most brutal heavyweight fights of all time. They never had much respect for each other in the ring, per se, but they did outside the ring. I mean, sometimes Joe would say nasty things, and Joe had a propensity to drink. I mean, he didn't die of liver cancer, I don't think, I don't think it was accidental. I mean, this is a man that was operating a power lawnmower and pulled a lawnmower back over his foot and snared off two toes. I mean, he had a few drinks, got arrested for driving down the wrong way of a one-way street in Philadelphia with the smell of alcohol in his beverage on his breath, and yet the Philadelphia police didn't book him. They drove him home. He was a world heavyweight champion. I mean, he was a king. There was no doubt about it. Joe, 1964 Olympic gold medalist, undefeated going into the first Ali fight, of course, won the first Ali fight on the scorecards of a lot of people. When I look back at 15 rounds, I thought that Muhammad Ali won more of the 15 rounds than Joe Frazier won, but you have to give Joe Frazier props for knocking Muhammad Ali down in the 15th round. Of course, that epic knockdown. But that 12th round beating that he put on Ali, wow. I mean, Ali was ready to go. I had never in my life seen Muhammad Ali as hurt as he was in the 12th round against Joe Frazier in that first fight, of course. The third fight took its toll on both guys. They were never the same. But, you know, that's what people say to me. They were never the same, never the same after the third fight. Joe Frazier was never the same after the first fight. I mean, it was an unbelievable beating. He spent a long time in the hospital and just was never the same guy. But, you know, at the end of the day, here was a guy that was heavyweight champion, that had a lot of class, and yet I'd see him do things that were stupid. I mean, he drank a lot, so he got drunk, and I walked into dressing rooms in which he was working with fighters, and you could smell the immediate aroma of an alcoholic beverage, and look at Joe, and his eyes were a little glossy. Him and Butch Lewis, for the most part, they drank together. Promoted Butch Lewis out of St. Louis, of course, the promoter of Michael Spinks. But, you know, Joe had this, how can I put it? This manic personality. I mean, it was Dr. Jekyll or Mr. Hyde. When I walked up to Joe Frazier, I never knew what Joe Frazier I was going to encounter. I just didn't. I mean, it was sometimes he was pleasant. How are you, young man? Things like that. Other times, just showing his teeth at me, you know, like growling at me like he was going to fight me and this and that. So I could never figure out when he was gaming, when he was serious. The bottom line was he took some things way too serious. At the end of the day, though, Joe Frazier died at the age of 67, liver cancer. May he rest in peace. One of the great rivalries of all time, if not the greatest rivalry in the sport of boxing, Muhammad Ali and Joe Frazier. Their three fights, wow, what can I say? What can I say? Their three fights were just epic encounters. The first one went 15 rounds. The second one went 12 rounds. The third one, of course, stopped before the 14th round. Well, my buddy, the late Eddie Futch, the trainer of Joe Frazier, said, son, I'm stopping this fight, and you've got nothing to be ashamed of. And Joe Frazier didn't. You are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide. Check it. You're inside looking to the world of boxing, MMA. So anyway, I told you I'd bring you a little bit more Ali, right? A little bit more Muhammad Ali. Here's Muhammad Ali in a different light.
He would come to the gym, and if say he didn't get a ride to the gym, he didn't have no car, he would run. He would run across the causeway.
Muhammad Ali, one of my great heroes, had a great line in the 70s when he was asked, how many sit-ups do you do? He said, I don't count my sit-ups. I only start counting when it starts hurting. When I feel pain, that's when I start counting, because that's when it really counts. That's what makes you a champion.
Terry, I'm the greatest fighter that ever stepped foot in the ring. Money will be lost that night. This will be the biggest upset in the century of all boxing.
I think you're a big bag of wind. Damnedest showman that ever lived, and you ain't kidding anybody.
The odds are 7-1. It's very big odds for a heavyweight championship fight.
It has to be Liston. Liston is a much bigger puncher.
While these big mouth people talking about I talk too much, well, I want all of them to be there, and I'm going to shut up all of his mouth.
And Cassius Clay has won after 6 rounds.
Cassius is
not my name no more.
You want to keep calling me a white man's name? I'm not white.
Continues to scream at Terrell.
He beat the hell out of those who didn't want to use his name.
Mr. Muhammad Ali has just refused to be inducted into the United States Armed Forces.
I'm just about broke. I'm not allowed to work here now in America.
I'm going to fight, not for me, but to uplift my little brothers who are sleeping in concrete floors today in America.
They want to be famous. They are people. It's a wonderful book.
I'm going to float like a butterfly and sting like a bee. George can't hit what his eyes can't see.
All of you chumps are going to bow when I whip him. All of you. I know you got him. I know you got him picked. But the man's in trouble. I'm going to show you how great I am.
Bluffed him. I done everything. Beat him up basically for about 5 or 6 rounds. I thought it was easy. Then about the 6th round, he whispered in my ear after I'd hit him in the side. That all you got, George?
When you were a kid, you always bet certain fellas, I'm going to be champion one day. And when I'm champion, I'm going to come back and show you I'm wrong. Another said, guys, I'm going to be a great doctor one day. And I'm going to be a dentist. I'm going to be a great scientist. I'm going to be a president of the country. And but very few people actually are able to make good of the boast and come home and say, I told you.
Muhammad Ali, Joe Frazier, we're going to say the greatest rivalry in the history of sports, certainly the greatest rivalry in the history of boxing. Now, the reason why I went to Ali is that we have a movie that's out now on Amazon.com or Amazon Prime, call it what you want, but it's free if you have Amazon. It's called One Night in Miami. It was made last year. It's done pretty well as far as ratings are concerned. One Night in Miami is a fictional account of one incredible night where icons like Muhammad Ali, Malcolm X, Sam Cooke, and Jim Brown gathered together discussing their roles in the civil rights movement and cultural upheaval of the 1960s. Of course, directed by Regina King. Pretty good movie. I mean, I watched part of it last night. It's a pretty good movie. I'm going to get the rest of it done today. But straight up, I got to tell you, if you got Amazon Prime and you're a Muhammad Ali, you're a boxing fan, or you're just a fan of history and want to look back at the 60s with a different perspective, this is the way to look at it. One Night in Miami. Of course, brought to you by AmazonPrime.com. I've got my Amazon Prime. What does it do for me? It gets me discounts at Whole Foods where I buy my food. Outside of that, it doesn't do a whole lot. You are tuned to Ring Talk live worldwide. Check it. You're inside. Look at the world of boxing, MMA. Of course, this is a Saturday edition. We come to you Saturday and Sundays at 11 a.m. Pacific time. That's 2 p.m. Eastern time. The Saturday show is for an hour. This is Saturday. Of course, the Sunday show is for 2 hours. We come to you live on Sports Byline, iHeartRadio, Sirius XM, Satellite Radio, Channel 217, and a plethora of other internet platforms, both live and delayed. You're tuned to Ring Talk live worldwide. But hey, you knew that.
Blowing my money all over this town, and I wouldn't be doggone. Then I wouldn't be doggone. I'd be long gone.
I'd be long gone.
Mm-hmm.
My baby Darlene Love talking about being a rebel. Well, guess what? I'm a bit of a rebel, and so was Mike Akey. Mike Akey passed away this week at the age of 63 years old. He was a boxing promoter from Erie, Pennsylvania. Of course, his father was a professor, a smart guy. I mean, the whole family had class, his sister Marcy, his mom, the whole nine yards. Anyway, Mike died this week at the age of 63 after battling pancreatic cancer for about 5 years. He worked with Roberto Duran. He worked with Hector Camacho. He was part of that recent Hector Camacho special that was on Netflix or whatever it was anyway. Of course, the Macho Time. And all. He was a prolific person in the world of boxing. You know, he helped me out a lot. Of course, he was one of those guys that only told you what he wanted you to know as far as boxing was concerned, because I was a member of the media. And he said, you've got your role. I got my role. Well, we both had our roles. And he was successful in his, no doubt about that. I mean, as I said, promoting great fights. Duran, he had pieces of Duran when Duran fought in some of his big fights against Barkley, things like that. Of course, he was pivotal in the Roberto Duran comeback, and he was also, you know, a big player in Hector Camacho's comeback. He was promoted for Camacho's last opponent. But I will say one time he gaffed. He and Louis DeCubas Sr., not DeCubas Jr. DeCubas Jr. is managing fighters now. His father's kicking back in Florida, retire anyway. Louis DeCubas Sr., a.k.a. The Cube, He and Mike Akery, they had Felix Trinidad at one point in time, and Trinidad had got knocked down in a couple of fights. So Mike tells Louis, hey, get rid of this guy Trinidad. He's going to get knocked out. He's not worth smack, blah, blah, blah. Of course, Trinidad now, a member of the Boxing Hall of Fame, having won titles at 147, 154, and 160. Obviously, Mike had gaffed in that one move right there. You are tuned around. I'm going to miss Mike Akery. I mean, I talked to him. He's one of those guys that I call him, and if he picks up the phone, you didn't leave a message. If he picks up the phone, he'll talk to you, okay? Or he'll call you back. But you didn't leave a message. He was just a bit of a strange bird. I mean, somebody said to me that they were his good friend and a lot closer to him than I was, and they hadn't been able to talk to him like in years. So he just stopped calling him because Mike wouldn't call him back. But Mike was tough at the end. He was a champ. He went out. What can I say? I'm going to miss him, no doubt about that. The UFC is rocking and rolling, of course, January 16th, January 20th, January 24th, February 6th, February 13th, February 20th. Check out your TV guide. Looks like ESPN is going to cover most of those. You are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide. Check it. You're inside look into the world of boxing and mixed martial arts. Want to say hello to Miss V out there, Australia. That, of course, the Sunday show tomorrow at 11 a.m. Pacific time, 2 p.m. Eastern time, will feature the retired HBO godfather, Mr. Larry Merchant, the Hall of Famer, going to turn 90 February 11th. Larry's birthday is coming up. So straight up, Larry Merchant and more on the Sunday edition of Ring Talk Live Worldwide. Listen, you could be doing a million things right now. The fact you're listening to Ring Talk Live Worldwide on Sports Byline, well, I thank you from the bottom of my heart. My name is Pedro Fernandez, and this is Ring Talk.